The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
You know, live radio, Pat, you know it. It can get a little crazy and exciting around here, and we've got it going on today. But I want to let you know how good it is that you are with us today, because our topic is extremely important. It's about our community fire protections and about our taxes, our wallets, and it's important because you voters get to decide how this is going to go down in the upcoming election, May 20th. These three levies that we're going to talk about today are all in your hands on how you're going to vote. And you know me, I always want people to get the facts, to get the information, go to the meetings, listen to my radio show, and then make up your mind and then vote, an informed vote. The one thing that I don't like, and I don't know that any of my wonderful listeners ever do this, but there's kind of a knee-jerk reaction sometimes, saying, oh, it's taxes, I'm not going to vote for any more taxes. Well, I understand that, but then again, you may be making that decision just on kind of an emotional response and not really looking at the facts. So that's what we're all about today. And my guest is Jeff Armstrong. He is the fire chief for Selkirk Fire and Rescue. And he's here to present the three different fire district levies that are on your ballot. We have lots, that'd be West Side, North Side, and Sagal. We have lots of in-depth information to share, so pull up a chair, give us a listen. We're going to get into the weeds on a lot of this. And you know, you can always come back and listen to the full show if you get interrupted. For any reason, you can always come back to the recorded version that you can listen to at our website after today's live show and after it's posted up, of course, at NorthIdahoRadio.com. So we have a lot coming your way. I want you to stay with us, please. We are going to take a break right now, get to it, and we'll get to the fire levies right after this.
Tickets on sale now for Hall of Fame singer, songwriter, and producer Jim Messina at the Penita Theater in Sandpoint, Idaho. Jim Messina and his band in concert at the Penita May 1st, performing hits from Loggins and Messina, Poco, and Buffalo Springfield.
Well, I bet you wish you could cut me down with those angry.
Celebrating five decades of hit music, Jim Messina's last show in Sandpoint sold out in days. Tickets on sale now at Penita.org.
Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with honey.
Join us for an intimate performance from the legendary Jim Messina in the beautiful city of Sandpoint. Jim Messina and his band, May 1st at the Penita Theater. Tickets on sale now at Penita.org.
Albertson Barlow Insurance Services in Sandpoint is your trusted, independent, locally owned and operated full-service insurance company. Scott and Ty understand that insurance these days can get confusing. They're here to assist you through the process and explain your options clearly, providing you and your family the right coverage for every need. Life, health, property, auto, and more. Contact Albertson Barlow Insurance in the Old Powerhouse Building, online at Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not
get real cash back. If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code WORK to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code WORK for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WORK for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Get more of the NFL with NFL Plus. Follow the journey of future NFL stars and stay connected throughout the offseason with coverage of the NFL draft, training camp, and more, all in one place. And with NFL Plus Premium, relive your favorite moments from the 2024 season with game replays and access to NFL player stats with NFL Pro. Subscribe today at plus.nfl.com. Terms and conditions apply.
News Talk 97.1, KSPT, KBFI.
You're here with me, and today for this radio show, let me bring you guys up to speed on what's going on, and that is my guest, Selkirk Fire and Rescue Chief Jeff Armstrong, is running late. He's on his way, but he's running late. But here's the praise to God. He's not running late because there was a fire. He's not running late because there was an emergency. He's just running late because, you know, sometimes life happens. And so he is on his way. So bear with me.
Sometimes it happens on live radio.
I know.
And we get
to
share. When somebody else has something messed up at their workplace, they can generally keep it within the staff or within the confines, even themselves, if they can get away with it.
Oh my gosh.
Pat, our
we have to announce it
to the world. Yeah.
We have to, it's like we have to fully confess. I mean, you know, fully expose what's going on around here.
No hiding what's happening here on live radio.
No, it happens. TikTok, when that clock starts, we are on the air.
But he's on his way.
He is on his way. He's going to be here, and I'm excited about that. So I think I'll lay a little bit of groundwork, and just bear with me, because I'm reading something that's really interesting. Remember when I said at the introduction, you know, base your decisions on information that you can gather. So one of the pieces of information that I was really interested in reading about as I prepared for the show, and that's called the Insurance Surveying and Rating Bureau. They do an independent evaluation of fire districts.
I believe I have a
they
sighting.
They do an independent evaluation of fire districts. And I have good news for you. We've got Fire Chief Jeff Armstrong walking into the studio right now. I'm pointing to his chair. I'm pointing to his microphone.
He looks dapper and sharp in his
uniform. You look very sharp today. You cannot believe that how much I was thinking, do I have to do this show without Jeff? Jeff Armstrong, welcome in.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Amen. I just said that the good news was you weren't in a fire. You weren't in an emergency. It was just life happens, and here we go, live radio.
Life happens as a fire chief. You know, things get thrown at me every day, and I pick them up and I roll with them.
And here you are. All right. I'm going to skip that part about laying groundwork, about your background. People can read about your bio and your background on your website for Selkirk Fire and Rescue. And I want the audience to understand your role as Selkirk Fire Chief. Somehow, I mean, Selkirk is a fire district, and then there are smaller districts that have mutual agreements under Selkirk. Is that the way that works? What's the command structure, if you will?
So kind of. Without getting too technical, let me just kind of explain. So there's the West Side Fire District and the Sago Fire District. At one point in time, the city of Sandpoint was also part of Selkirk Fire. Selkirk is technically a JPA, which stands for Joint Powers Agreement, which just allows local government to work together under one unified structure to save money, pool resources, and provide a better level of service. So the Sago and West Side Fire Districts are still in that JPA, and they're still operating under a new JPA, but they're still operating together. At the same time, I'm also a contract fire chief for the Northside Fire District, which is basically, for folks that know Bonner County, it's Ponderay, north up to the county line, and almost out to Hope. And so I'm a contract fire chief with them. They retain their own organization. They're their own standalone fire district.
You're the chief.
I'm the chief there.
So they,
yeah.
It's not only a joint power. It's they get it's a money saving technique where they don't pay for two chiefs. They just help contribute to you. I understand.
Correct. And you know, we use the term economy of scale, right? Anytime somebody can come together like that and
yes.
share resources, there is some savings. You know, where there would be three fire chiefs, there's just one. With that comes some workload, and I am happy to pick that up and run with it. But there's also other savings, you know, purchasing, going out for an RFP right now to make sure that we're getting the best deal on apparatus maintenance. You know, our fire trucks need to be worked on. And then there's sharing of resources. So if one fire engine breaks down, we have the option of borrowing it and shifting that over so that the entire community is served.
So Westside, Northside, and Sagal, with kind of a different relationship with Northside, but they're all working with you and your team working with them. What about, I was reading about Dover, Kerrywood, Laclede, Coca-Lala, Renko, and Bottle Bay. Are they not a part of these joint powers? They're in their own, because they were listed on the website. What did I misunderstand from that list?
I don't think you misunderstood anything. Those are just communities, census-based communities, census-based
they
areas.
They have fire stations.
And they have fire stations, and that's where our fire stations are located, and that is part of
our
the districts.
Our being Selkirk.
Correct.
Okay.
Ours
so they,
being collectively the community. So Sagal Fire Districts, for instance, has a fire station in Kerrywood, Coca-Lala, Sagal, Bottle Bay, and one out in the Bay
I
area.
Oh, I see. But within that, they may have a couple of different fire stations.
Correct. Correct.
Get it. All right. So obviously not all of these three districts that you work with, Northside, Westside, and Sagal, are all going out for a levy that's coming up on May 20th that people get to vote on. So I started talking before you got here, Jeff, about the Insurance Surveying and Rating Bureau. I kind of noted at my introduction that for me, I want people, I mean, there's kind of a knee-jerk reaction, oh, taxes, I don't want to pay more taxes. And I encourage people, you may end up voting no, you may end up voting yes, but vote on the facts. And I think this is a big one. I think this is a big issue, the Insurance Surveying and Rating Bureau, because when they rate a fire district and it's the number goes up, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, that means that's not good. And what the way is it true, Jeff, the way they this rating affects my insurance bill that I negotiate for my property in a district?
It does, and it's very anecdotal to explain how that happens, and it's different from insurance company to insurance company. So for me to tell you that this is going to affect your insurance rate by X amount per year, I can't be that scientific about it, because there's obviously proprietary things that the insurance companies do behind the scenes to decide that, as well as, you know, they evaluate your house, your defensible space, things like that as well. But the operations and the capability of your fire district, whatever fire district you live in, has a direct impact on what that rating is going to be, and then whether your insurance company or not buys that data from ISRB, the Insurance Rating Bureau, that's up to that insurance company. But most insurance companies are at least looking at it. If it's not a big decision point, they're at least looking at it and taking it into consideration.
I asked my insurance company, this was out in Hope, so we had, you know, the Sam Owen Fire District, and that came up a lot in the discussions there as when I was a resident there. And my insurance very much did look at the Insurance Surveying and Rating Bureau statistics. But as you say, maybe you have insurance that doesn't. But it can be a factor in making our decision. We want a better rating, meaning a lower number.
Correct.
So the chances that our insurance costs will go down.
Correct. I'm just very careful when I make promises
it's
because there's so much to
score. It's not a direct one-on-one causal
Correct.
Thing.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So the other thing that I'd like you to comment on before we get into the details and the numbers and the dollars is that do all three of these levies need to pass with a supermajority?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, so 66 and two-thirds
Correct.
Need to agree to do this levy if it's going to pass. Why is that? Is that because it's a certain amount of money, or it's just any fire levy's got to go supermajority, or do you know?
I know a little bit about it. I think it starts with Idaho code, obviously, their state statute that says it has to pass. The big thing is that it's a permanent levy, and I know that's a scary word for folks. A temporary levy just requires a simple majority. But for what the districts are trying to accomplish and the services they're trying to provide on the heels of this potential levy, a temporary levy really wouldn't do much for us. You know, that brings in money for 2 years. If we're looking to hire additional firefighters, what am I going to do in another 2 years? And I know there is a concept of, well, let's just do it temporarily and then we'll see. But then you're asking me as the fire chief to put a 2-year plan together, which isn't how my brain works. I'm thinking strategically. I'm thinking long term. And then you're asking me to hire firefighters that I may have to lay off in 2 years. And it just doesn't feel fair. What I'd rather
do. Not only does it not feel fair, it's not fair. That is not a good career decision for those professional firefighters that want to come in and they want to make this their profession. They're only going to get a 2-year guarantee mm-hmm. when they could go someplace else and get a better guarantee for more longevity.
More longevity. And, you know, folks may do it to start. But one of the things that I've really tried to do since being here is be honest with the community. And sometimes the level of honesty that I'm having to have with the community is a little bit difficult sometimes. And so I need to tell them the current situation we're in, my vision for what it looks like in the future and the resources we should have to protect the community, and a 2-year plan isn't going to work for me. So even though a permanent is more of a heavy lift, it's starting those conversations. And I understand folks are against it, and I really want to sit down and talk with those folks. I want to learn from them. But at some point, we have to figure out where we're going in the future. And that's a more of a long-term solution, especially with the growth in Bonner County.
It's always a long-term solution. I mean, whether you're talking the county or the city or fire districts or ambulance districts, just management of private corporations, you've got to have vision past 2 years. I don't mean make it sound like, oh, yeah, I know this. This is easy. But it's the truth. Even if your family... You need to. You might have plans for the next year or two, but if you're smart and you're budgeting the way all the experts tell you to, you need to have a 10-year plan at least, 5-10 years out where you want to be. Because whether we plan or not, Jeff, we get there, don't we?
Yeah, and you know, I'm a bit unique when it comes to that as a fire chief with my private sector background and having my own business. I run things very much like a business, and I think there's a lot that government can pick up from private business. The agility, the way we treat people, and the biggest thing for me is just strategic planning.
Yes, I agree. And I think every part of government should be run like a business and in so many important ways. All right, let's get into the weeds. We're going to delay our break just a little bit at the bottom of the hour because we're late getting started. I want to get started with West Side.
Okay.
So first of all, for what is the current rating, insurance rating for Westside?
4.
So that's kind of better than average. It's like below 5. Is that pretty good?
It is pretty good for the area that it is. And there's a couple things with the rating, and I just want to touch on it.
Sure.
So you'll get a 4 if you're within 5 miles of a fire station. If you're farther than 5 miles from a fire station, you would go up to an 8. Looking
so
at the map,
you can be in the same district, but you and your insurance payments might be different because you're within 5 miles of the station or you're outside and considered rural.
Correct. Correct. So people just need to be clear on that. If they live 6 miles from one of the fire stations,
okay,
and they say, well, I'm not getting the better insurance rating, it's because they're farther. So there's a couple things that ISRB looks at. They look at how far you are from the fire station, and then they look at whether or not you have a water supply within 1,000 feet of your home.
Okay, so well, that's really good to know. That's why this is, like, for me, these are the details that would, depending on where I live, if I'm in, I do not live in any of these fire districts right now. So that's important. What about the current services or how the services you envision and your team envision need to be improved as a result of this levy?
So one of the things that I'm looking at doing is, obviously there's national standards out there that we can go to, but one of the things I recognized when I got here as the Deputy Chief of Operations was that we're in North Idaho, we don't have the resources the big cities have. And so I can go to those national standards and I can look at them, and they're great guidelines, they're great references, but I'm never going to get 15, 25, 45 firefighters on scene of a fire up here. So really what I'm looking at, and I use the term effective response force, I'm looking to get an effective number of firefighters on scene within 10 to 15 minutes of a structure fire so that I can accomplish certain tasks within the first 5 to 10 minutes of arriving on scene. And current service levels in Westside right now, with one firefighter working per day on the fire engine showing up at a structure fire, it'd be very difficult to try to get all of those tasks accomplished.
This may be where that joint power agreements come into play, that it's one fire station but another one over here, they will come and assist. Is that an automatic, like the call goes out and they, if they're joint power, if they're, they have that GPA, they go, or do they have to be called in?
So we've actually taken a step above the JPA. So JPA is more of a business model, cost savings, organizational structure, whereas what we have with Northside, Westside, Sagal, Sandpoint, is we have automatic aid. So when there's a structure fire in any of those jurisdictions, they don't have to dispatch that district and wait for additional requests. They are sending the correct response.
It's so good. I mean, that just makes sense. I mean, you've already said time is of the essence. Those first, what'd you say, the first five to 10 minutes.
First five to 10 minutes
is crucial. So a part of this effective response force, these additional dollars will provide that. So let's talk about what the impact is. What is the proposal for the West Side levy? They want to go from what number per 100,000 to what other number?
So the increase for the West Side District is the largest increase, and it's a heavy lift, and I acknowledge it's a heavy lift because we're going from one person to three people on per day. So the levy that is put before the voters is for an increase of $71 per 100,000, would bring it to a total of $122 per 100,000. That pays for the additional two firefighters per day, and that also sets aside $150,000 a year for us, what I call a savings account, so we can start saving for a replacement fire engine. New fire engines cost $1 million. We're not going to be buying new fire engines anytime soon unless we get a grant.
Right.
But what we do need to do is start saving so that we can pay cash in 5 to 7 years for a really solid, good, used fire engine.
To upgrade, to keep always upgrading. So you're going for $51 per 100,000 to $122 per $100,000 in evaluation. So it's an increase of $71.
Yes, and there's some sticker shock with that, and I acknowledge that.
Yeah, because very few people have a house that's evaluated at $100,000. So if you're in a $300,000 house, you will go to $213 per year, but that's per year. What's 213 divided by 12 real quick? Like $21?
Something like that.
$20. Yeah. So $20 a month for fire protection. All right, that's West Side. And yeah, those numbers are the highest increase that we're seeing. Let's take a break right now, Jeff. Do a little business here. Do our business model at the radio station. And we'll be back with a lot more detail for you.
Around here, we take care of our own, help out our neighbors, work hard, and pitch in where we're needed. That's small town living. But small town living doesn't have to mean sacrificing access to quality health care. At Kiniksu Community Health, our qualified care teams provide excellent medical, dental, pediatric, and behavioral health care for the residents of North Idaho. Kiniksu Community Health, building a healthier community with award-winning care and small-town warmth. Learn more at kchni.org.
Idaho has given you a place to dream, a place to learn, endless places to roam, friendship, hope, and now you can give back to Idaho. Idaho Gives is an online giving event that raises money and awareness for Idaho nonprofits. These organizations do so much for our state and deserve our support. Please go to idahogives.org to donate to your favorite causes from April 28th through May 1st.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, service manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. With spring right around the corner, now it's time to inspect your vehicle after months of harsh winter driving. In April, we are pleased to announce the return of Mopar's Buy 3, Get the 4th Tire for only a dollar sale. And with the purchase of a new set of tires, we're offering front-end alignments for $69.95. Remember, our certified technicians are performing same-day oil changes. We work on all makes and models, including Subaru, Toyota, and Honda. Pierce Auto Center.
Give your home the ultimate spring clean with new flooring from Pro-X Home Decor Center. We carry in stock carpet, vinyl plank, laminate, wood, patterned and unpatterned tile, all from top name brands like Anderson, Tuptex, XL Flooring, Coratec, Shaw, Mohawk, and Dull Tile. You can't go wrong with quality pricing on quality products at Pro-X Home Decor Center. Visit our showroom to see our new displays and get a free quote today. Pro-X Home Center, your hometown everything store.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome in. We've got it going on here today with Jeff Armstrong. He is the Selkirk Fire District and Rescue Service. He's the fire chief. He is the fire chief. And Selkirk works together with Sagal, Westside, Northside, and Sandpoint. Kind of Sandpoint Joint Powers, a little bit of an agreement.
Sandpoint used to be in the Joint Powers. They're a partner now. They're not in the JPA anymore.
Oh, they're a partner. All right. Well, you know, that's, they can do that. So we're here to talk about Westside, Northside, Sagal. We talk about Westside. That's kind of the heavy hitter for the increase. But look, it's an extra $20 a month total, essentially. I'm rounding up here, kids. For fire service, year-round fire service. All right, Northside. What are the numbers in Northside? They're going from what to what with this levy?
So their current mill levy rate is 20 per 100,000, and they're looking to increase that by 41 to a total of 61 per 100,000. And the vision there would be to staff the Samuels station at Samuels and 95 on the north end of the district and put two paid staffing there per day, as well as absorb a couple grant positions that we brought on last year. We got a grant through FEMA for 3 years for an additional firefighter per day, so a total of three personnel. And when that grant runs out, we would like to absorb that as well.
You know, I realize I don't live in these districts, but why I feel more positive about it maybe than some other taxpayers do. But with this increase, it's an additional $90 a year. If you have a $300,000 house, no. You're going up by $41.
Yes.
So times three is 120.
Yeah.
So the increase is 120. That's $10 a month is the increase. So still you have a total to deal with, but still the increase for what you're getting, the Samuels, two additional paid at the Samuels station up there, in the northern part of this district.
Right, if you know the Blue Heron, it's right across the street.
All right.
So it's about 17 minutes drive from Ponderay, so that you're talking about a significant savings in response times. One of the things I'd like to point out with the Northside Fire District is when it was formed years ago, and I don't have that date in front of me, and I apologize, all this information's off the top of my head, but their mill levy rate was 47. And as growth came in, the mill levy rates actually drop, because if you have, hypothetically, if you have 500 homes in your fire district and they build another 500, everybody's mill levy rate goes in half.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done, and done brilliantly, right, to control local government and to control growth. But it's backfired on us with the growth that we've seen in Bonner County over the last 20 years.
People
say 20 to 27% over the last 20 years, depending on what data source you look at. And our call volume isn't going up 27% every year, and I'm not claiming that. Our call volume has increased. Number of structure fires has increased modestly. And then, you know, the big things that we're running is traffic accidents. I heard data this week that the sheriff said over the last 10 years, traffic accidents have gone up 200%.
We all can see that. I mean, if you're driving around, you get stopped on these accidents. So we know the population is they're using up a lot of our infrastructure that somehow sometimes they may not be paying for. So as they grow in these areas, that does not affect the amount of money that I would pay on my part of my tax to support the fire district.
as there's growth, hypothetically, everybody's mill levy rate will come down if there's growth within that fire district.
Within that district.
Yeah, so the mill levy will come down. So the mill levy rate is currently 20. It was 47 years ago when the fire district was formed.
Because of growth.
But you make a good point, right? We put this burden on the homeowner, and maybe this is where the system isn't perfect. We put the burden on the homeowner to provide that local fire protection, but then you get folks that are traveling through. You get folks that are on the highway.
Camping or something, yes, starting a fire.
Correct.
Okay. I get that. All right, so that's north side. And let's look at Sagal. Let's look at, first of all, what's the rating, the insurance rating at Sagal? How are they doing right now with the current insurance rating?
They're at a 4 as well.
Okay, and that's if you're within 6 miles of the fire station. What if they're outside that and they're further away?
Then they're going to go to an 8.
You know, but eight is not good.
Eight is not good, but the insurance companies are also going to look at the rating for the district. So if you are just outside that area, they're going to also take a look at, well, you're associated with a fire district that does have a 4 rating.
Okay.
One of the things I did when I first got here was work with, if you guys know where the captain's table is, they were having some insurance stuff and they were working through that. And I worked really hard with the insurance company to articulate the services.
They in the Sagal district?
They are in the Sagal fire district.
That's far south.
And they are just right within that line of being 5 miles from the fire station. So I was able to work with the insurance company and help them with their insurance.
Oh, excellent. All right. So Sagal. What are the services that you're looking to fund and improve with the levy for the Sagal Fire District?
So one of the first things that we want to accomplish is we want to be able to staff the Kerrywood Fire Station year-round. Right now with vacancies, occasionally we get injuries because firefighting is a dangerous sport, but in a dangerous occupation, we do get folks that have to be off for a couple shifts with some minor injuries. Long-term leave, things like that, or simply vacation, paid time off, I'm having a hard time staffing that station with 2 people. The overtime costs and also the risk of putting people on overtime. When you put firefighters on overtime, you do increase your risk for injury, accidents, things like that. So
not only for them, not only for the firefighters themselves, but maybe it may even push back against the people they're trying to help because they're tired and, you know, things are happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So you know, if you work a 96-hour and you run calls every day, by that fourth day, which is 96 hours, by that fourth day, you're not going to be running at 100%, right, in peak performance.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm very passionate about is not having one person on a fire engine. So when we drop staffing in Kerrywood, we're asking one of our personnel to work by themselves on a fire engine down in Kerrywood. And so that's a practice that I would like to stop.
Yes.
And so these two additional positions per day would bring the staffing up to the point where I can slide people down from station to station to cover vacancies, reduce the amount of overtime that I need to use, and also in the Sagal Fire District have the right number of firefighters showing up on that first initial response.
So in Sagal, the mill rate per 100,000 is how much and what's it going to go to?
I reverse engineer this sometimes in my head because the numbers, the way the numbers work.
Tell
so
the
increase
you know
is 34 for a total of 122. So if you do the math, that puts you at about 88.
Okay, so
sorry I have to say it backwards, but that's the way I've been working this.
It's all good because, you know, people, I mean, as long as they can get the relative numbers, they can get the details at the meetings and they can get the details on the website. So from 88 to 122, which is an increase of 40-something?
It should be a 34.
34.
Increase of 34. Okay. And this is the smallest increase, and I think this is what I want the public to understand, is all these increases, we didn't just throw random numbers out
there.
Exactly. We actually started with
that
zero-based budget. What is it we need to accomplish in each district? And then came up with that number. And Sagal is the smallest ask by far.
Plus, the needs are different. I mean, overall, more permanent staff, more, you know, a backup for those that, you know, so you don't have one fireman alone responding to a fire, for heaven's sakes. But yeah, each one is very individually calculated. Okay, one of the objections that I've heard people say, and I'm interested in your response, you're saying, look, instead of having a permanent levy that I'm going to deal with every year, I'd rather work with my own insurance company and change my deductible or change my coverage or do what I want to do to manage my budget. And that makes some sense to me, except when I think of it in a community approach. I may be negotiating something with my insurance company, but that doesn't give me an extra firefighter coming to my house if I have a fire. So right. How do you respond to that?
So as a fire chief, I'm not an insurance expert, right? As a fire chief, I would like to think that I'm an expert at mitigating incidents. And so what I want to do is I want to serve the community. When you call 911, I want to show up with the right amount of resources to be able to mitigate whatever incident you have. If someone is negotiating with their insurance company and would rather pay the insurance company than pay a levy, I can't really argue against that business decision, right? That's a business decision. But what I would have them understand is at some point or another, something may happen on someone else's property that we may have to mitigate. And while there's that concept of, well, it's not going to happen to me, it's going to happen to somebody else, those incidents can get off that property and end up on your property. And specifically, I'm talking about the wildland fire threat.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, my take on it, not that anybody cares about my take on it, but I think you can do both. I think I want a couple of firefighters coming to my house if I'm in trouble or my neighbor right next door to me is in trouble, and I can additionally negotiate with my insurance company. I mean, I can do both and be the manager of my money. All right, you have meetings. First of all, I want people to know how they can get in touch with you, how they can find your website, get more information, and or go to meetings. What meetings do you have coming up this week or this weekend maybe that people can attend?
So I would say that the biggest one that I would like to plug is because it's the largest venue and it's the opportunity for people to show up and it's a little bit central. So next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Sagal Senior Center, we're having a town hall. And the reason this is important is because it is designed to address all three districts. So we have a couple large town halls, and we're referring to those as town halls. The other events are open houses and things like that. And so it's an extensive list, and I would ask people just to go to our social media, Facebook account, look for it, Northside Fire District, Selkirk Fire Rescue and EMS. Look at our social media for where those individual open houses are, because the list is extensive. It's almost every day.
I cannot believe how many you've got. I'm very, very, very impressed with how the districts and you personally are reaching out so people can be educated, make an educated vote.
And I'm offering one-on-one sit-downs. These aren't sales pitches. These are come in, meet with your fire chief, talk to us about what you expect from your fire department. And I've gotten great ideas from the community. It's been great to sit there and just have coffee with people. I carve out time in the morning, sit down. People can get a hold of me through Colin Selkirk, 208-263-7929. My email address is jarmstrong, really easy to remember, no spaces, no dots, @selkirkfire.us. Reach out to me, have a conversation. I especially want to hear from people that are concerned over this or are against it, because what I want to know is what their expectations are. So as we go forward, post-levy, if it doesn't pass, how do I build the fire service that the community wants?
Yeah. Well, they're all individual votes, so some may pass, you know, some may not.
Correct.
So 208-263-7929 to get to you.
Yes.
All right. And also Jay Armstrong, that's for Jeff Armstrong, jarmstrong@selkirkfire.us. And the other thing I'll repeat, and I want you to do it before we get off the air, is next Tuesday, that's April the 29th at 6 o'clock in the evening, the Sagal Senior Center, all three fire districts will be there representing what they're asking and what they want to do with the tax money that they are asking you to vote in.
Absolutely. And even if you don't live in the Sagal Fire, or even if you don't live in the Sagal Fire District, come in.
Yeah. Because it's very interesting, because it's just like this insurance rating. And I really appreciate you saying that's not the end all do all, but definitely it can be a factor for some people in some districts. I kind of halfway knew about that, but that's a lot of good information that people could maybe even get a handout on or something to understand. So at these community meetings that you've been doing, what's the tenor? What's the mood? Are people coming in kind of opposed and then they get convinced? What's happening?
So there is a majority of people that actually aren't telling us how they sit because it really isn't. We aren't asking them.
Sure.
It isn't a sales pitch. It's a I speak for probably about 15, 20 minutes just about the organizations and what we're doing, and then I take questions. It does seem that there's a lot of interest, that we are getting great ideas. There does feel to be a lot of support for us in the community. Now, whether that support is shown in the ballot box or on May 20th or not, I'm not sure, but at least people are engaged with the fire service. And if we get anything from this, people are at least acknowledging the fire district, what fire district they live in, the services that we provide, and they understand a little bit more. If there's anything we leave May 20th with, it's they're going to understand more about the fire service.
Right. And maybe, again, however they end up voting, they will at least understand, as I think any, I mean, how many firefighters are available when the call comes in, when you call 911. You know, what's out there to respond to you? I think that would be one of my first questions living in the fire district I live in, which is here in Sandpoint. So I'm very close to the station, so that's good. But we pay for that. There is a levy for that.
Right.
And we enjoy that. So, okay, I want to get to volunteers. I want you to get to volunteers because that's all this talk about, you know, a couple of extras, paid staff and all of that, you still, volunteers are so important, aren't they?
They are, and it's becoming increasingly challenging to maintain a volunteer force. So when I stepped up to fire chief last June, I inherited an organization in Selkirk, Westside, and Sagal that did not have any volunteers. My commitment to the fire board and to the community was I was going to work on resurrecting that program. At the same time, the Northside Fire District did have a volunteer force. They had a roster. Some folks were not as active as other folks, and we had to sit down and have conversations with those. And then during my tenure, we've brought on five additional volunteers. And those folks are just about finished with their training and will be cleared to respond on their own. What we're seeing with volunteers, and over on the Selkirk side, there's efforts as well, and we're bringing on a couple people. We have a few people in the pipeline, anywhere from about 6 to 7 people that we'll be bringing on. One of the things that we're seeing with volunteerism, and I think it's across the board in any profession or any community organization where they expect volunteers, is we're seeing lack of engagement and a decline in availability.
Mm-hmm.
I also have the challenge of most of the volunteers I bring on have jobs. And so Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, when I have that fire, most of those folks are at work.
Mm-hmm.
2 o'clock in the morning when I get a structure fire on a Monday morning and someone has to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning, they have to make that decision. Am I going to go to the fire for a few hours and risk being late to work? And so we really have to create an organization where there's volunteer opportunities and support that program, but at the same time, I have to have honest conversations with the community about what a volunteer program is and what our expectations should be. And I know a lot of people think, well, free labor, we should just have more volunteers. But the reality is that I could have 30 volunteers on a roster, and if there's a fire and none of them are available or only a few of them are available, yeah, I have 30 on paper, but how many people are actually showing up and engaging out there?
Right.
So I'm committed to it because I think a lot of it is community engagement, civic engagement. There's also the aspect of young men and women come through the volunteer ranks to get a paid job. So I'm going to continue to support it, make sure that it's manageable, but I have to be honest with the community that this isn't solving our problems.
You know, I just think that is very well said. I mean that sincerely because, you know, people talk to me before a program if they find out who my guest is. I tell people who my guest is. And they were saying, yeah, volunteers, we got to depend more on volunteers. I was a volunteer umpty dumpty years ago and all that. And it's like, I think volunteerism across the board has declined in America and even here in our little, you know, loving community Sandpoint, you know, it's changed. And I think COVID definitely changed it again. But even before that, people were just not as willing to get out and volunteer for Rotaries and Lions and fire districts and all this stuff. It's changed.
And life is just different now, right? Think about the demands. It's every household's a dual income household.
Yep.
A lot of households have kids. So you've got weekend activities. You're spending your evening
with kids. Multiple sports.
And then if I want to volunteer at the food bank, I can sign up for Thursday night at 6 o'clock, right? Well, that's not how my fires work. I can't schedule my fires for Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So
Exactly. Measuring
success of a volunteer program doesn't mean I have these slots where people are going to come in and come to incidents and calls during those period of time.
So having said that, nevertheless, if you are interested for whatever your reasons and purposes are, because they could volunteer and maybe be the support around the fire, whether it's, you know, doing things for the actual fighters, And they have to be trained. I feel like I want to do a complete show with you. I don't know when. It may have to be after May 20th to get you on my calendar. But to do this whole thing on volunteers and depending on how the levees go, Jeff, maybe we ought to do a show and you know, how the levees fall out and how that's going to impact.
I'm available and do everything I can to
that
show up on time.
Great. I know. Hey, listen, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you show up on time, because I'm telling you, my heart was beating pretty fast when I looked at a topic like this, of which I have all questions, no answers. I thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this without Jeff. So let's just end here with giving you two more again, promo the Tuesday, the April 29th presentation next week.
Yes, next Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, Sagal Senior Center.
Okay. And how do people get in touch with you? What's the phone number?
208-263-7929. A nice lady named Tammy Miller will answer the phone, but she will get the message to me, I promise.
I know. And jarmstrong@selkirkfire.us. He's available to have coffee with you. You might even talk him into a donut. So, Jeff, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your being here with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'll have you back. All right, everybody, come on back next week. I am going to be talking about the National Day of Prayer with Pastor Chris Bassett, Pastor Ken Lawrence, and Charlene Wright. If you know them, you know these guys are very involved in the community, volunteers for the National Day of Prayer. Until next week, this is Barbara saying thank you.